he would say to me when I was young and working with him in the haberdashery, "Let me tell you something you should never do." And then he would tell me. His rules for life, he called them. And I grew up hearing my father's rules on just about everything. Some of what he told me was moral in nature, rooted in the teachings of the Talmud. And they were probably the same things most parents said to their children. I was told that I should never lie or cheat or steal, for instance. But my father, a sometimes Jew, he called himself back then, was far more likely to focus on the practical. Never go out in the rain without a hat, he would tell me. Never touch a stove burner on the off chance it still might be hot. I was warned that I should never count the money in my wallet in public or buy jewelry from a man on the street, no matter how good the deal might seem. On and on they went, these nevers. But despite their random nature, I found myself following almost every one, perhaps because I wanted never to disappoint my father. His voice even now follows me everywhere on this longest of rides, this thing called life. Similarly, I was often told what I should do. He expected honesty and integrity in all aspects of life. But I was also told to hold doors for women and children, to shake hands with a firm grip, to remember people's names, and to always give the customer a little more than expected. His rules I came to realize not only were the basis of a philosophy that had served him well, but said everything about who he was. Because he believed in honesty and integrity, my father believed that others did as well. He believed in human decency and assumed others were just like him. He believed that most people, when given the choice, would do what was right, even when it was hard. And he believed that good almost always triumphed over evil. He wasn't naive, though. "Trust people," he would tell me, "until they give you a reason not to, and then never turn your back." More than anyone, my father shaped me into the man I am today. But the war changed him. Or rather, the Holocaust changed him. Not his intelligence. My father could finish the New York Times crossword puzzle in less than 10 minutes. But his beliefs about people. The world he thought he knew no longer made sense to him, and he began to change. By then he was in his late 50s, and after making me a partner in the business, he spent little time in the shop. Instead, he became a full-time Jew. He began to attend synagogue regularly with my mother. I'll get to her later. And offered financial support to numerous Jewish causes. He refused to work on the Sabbath. He followed with interest the news regarding the founding of Israel and the Arab-Israeli war and its aftermath. And he began to visit Jerusalem at least once a year, as if looking for something he'd never known he'd been missing. As he grew older, I began to worry more about those overseas trips. But he assured me that he could take care of himself, and for many years he did. Despite his advancing age, his mind remained as sharp as ever. But unfortunately, his body wasn't quite so accommodating. He had a heart attack when he was 90. And though he recovered, a stroke 7 months later greatly weakened the right side of his body. Even then, he insisted on taking care of himself. He refused to move to a nursing home, even though he had to use a walker to get around. And he continued to drive, despite my pleas that he forfeit his license. "It's dangerous," I would tell him, to which he would shrug. "What can I do?" he would answer. "How else would I get to the store?" My father finally died a month before he turned 101. His license still in his wallet and a completed crossword puzzle on the bedstand beside him. It had been a long life, an interesting life, and I found myself thinking about him often of late. It makes sense, I suppose, because I've been following in his footsteps all along. I carried with me his rules for life every morning as I opened the shop and in the way I've dealt with people. I remembered names and gave more than was expected, and to this day I take my hat with me when I think there's a chance of rain. Like my father, I had a heart attack and now use a walker. And though I never liked